The Lord visited Linda in 1978, and it was then that she made the greatest decision of her life to receive him as her Lord and Savior. In 1980, she married Jay. Not long after that, they decided to move to South Carolina with their two children to attend Florence Bible Institute. Linda and Jay remained in South Carolina as pastors and teachers until 1988, when they moved to Massachusetts to pioneer work there and stayed until 1999. During that time, Linda also earned her master's degree in theological studies. Linda continues to teach at numerous Bible colleges, women's conferences, marriage enrichment seminars, and she now travels also full-time with her husband, Jay. And we're so fortunate. We've had Jay come and speak to us as a group for many years, and this is a special treat now to welcome you to speak with us. Thank you so much for being here.
It is so great to be here. I'm so excited. I wasn't supposed to come. Jay was going to come. I was going to, we travel pretty extensively all year long. And so when I don't have to travel, I don't. And so when Joyce texted or emailed us and called, and I was like, sure, I will. I would love to come and be a part. So this is special for me because I normally wouldn't have been here. So I get to be here and see you all. And so grateful. It's been a long road for us. Different things happening and going through our life. And we started off and when I married Jay, 1980, I was divorced prior to that, prior to meeting Jay. And I vowed never to get married again. And but God had different plans for me. So the day that I asked Jesus into my heart, everything changed. And it was only because of the Lord Jesus Christ that I was able to trust again and, you know, walk down that aisle and say yes. I remember it so clearly the day that both of us became Christians. My brother was a Christian and he kept, you know, talking to me about the Lord. And at that point, I was like, you know, that's good for you. I was raised Catholic, and, you know, I just was not sure if I believed what I believed. I wanted to believe that there was a God, but I wasn't sure. But the Lord knew my heart and knew. I just was like, well, if you're real, then show me. And I was miraculously saved. In the privacy of my home, it was just, that'll be for another time, that testimony. And then I kept, I call it divine nagging Jay, to come into the kingdom. And he, you know, he kept saying, I know, okay, I will, you know. And I started going to this Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group, and I wanted him to come. And finally, after months, he did come, and he just sat in the back and just wept. And when he tells his story, he said, I didn't need anything, because most people say, well, they needed that. That's why they came to the Lord. They were having problems. Or he didn't need anything. He says all the time, I had Jesus, I had Linda, he didn't have Jesus at the time. He had Linda, he had bodybuilding or working out, and he had bowling. And it wasn't even in that category. It was like straight across, you know. We were all even. But I thank God that he came into the kingdom. And I had said to the Lord, I had gotten born again, and I said to the Lord, I didn't even know what I was saying. Okay, Lord, if you bring him into this thing, fine. If not, I'll walk away from this relationship and I will serve you all the days of my life. I had no clue what I was saying. None. And but he did come in, and I'm grateful. And it's never been, for those of you that know Jay and have seen Jay, it's never a dull moment. So, but I'm so glad to be here. And I want to read some verses of scripture to you. The first one, let's read. Let's do Luke 19. Luke 19, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that it was going to be guests. He was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to them, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Turn with me to Hebrews 4:12, very popular scripture. 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then one more scripture, Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many of you want to see God? That's probably been our theme for a few years now, to be able to see God. One of our prayers that we pray, we have a daily, weekly prayer time. Every day is different. And on Thursdays, I'm not sure what day it is, might be on Sundays. Our prayers for our children and our grandchildren, that they would have an encounter with God, to see God. When I came into the kingdom and I got born again, great things were happening. We were seeing healings and miracles and people coming to the Lord in droves. My family, I was the second among my family to get saved. And after me, there were aunts and uncles and cousins. I mean, it was just incredible. You could just sneeze and the Lord would show up and things would happen. Things kind of have dried out a little bit. And our prayer is, Lord, we need to see you. We need a revelation. We need to be able to see the Lord our God today. Because have you noticed our world and how much darker it's gotten? You know, it's a little darker, and there's been difficulties in our world and things that are happening. You know, but I always say, even with all that, but God. And so God has been there, whether we feel him, whether we know, you know, we know that he's there, but we want to see him. I want our eyes to be open tonight, and I want us to be expecting as the days go by, the months go by, the years go by, that we can see God. And so I started with the scripture, Matthew 5:8. And it said, blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. You know, we know the heart is our inner man. It's the innermost man. It's our spiritual life, the heart. It's our thoughts, our passions, our desires, and our appetites, our heart. And it said, blessed are the pure in heart for they shall see God. I struggle with this. Because I, you know, read that and I go, ooh, am I pure? That word pure is, I don't know about you, but I don't consider myself pure. And we look at that word pure. To me, it means, you know, somebody were going to say, are you pure, spotless, stainless, no mixture? God help me. And if I were safe to say, maybe many of you would say the same, God help me, because I don't feel pure in any way. And so this, the pure things that I look at, you know, it's like, okay, there's pure gold, pure bread, you know, if you're talking of dogs, pure blooded. I look at pure white. I love the saying, pure white as the driven snow. I don't think so, you know, but that word pure, blessed are the pure in heart, it actually means in the scripture, free from corrupt desire, free from sin, but not only free from sin, but free from even the guilt of sin. How many of us, we beat ourselves up because of things we did in the past, you know, but the word says we're pure. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are pure-blooded. You have a pure heart, and you can see God. See, what happens to us is the enemy of our mind, the enemy of this age, the enemy of our times says, you can't see God. You're not worth it. You don't measure up. So the day Jesus came into your heart and my heart, we were set free. That was it. It was a done deal. You couldn't have been any more pure or sinless than that day. You know, and I know we fail, we make mistakes, but we're set free. If Jesus is in your heart, you're free. You have a pure heart according to Scripture, and you could see God. I want to look at this man, Zacchaeus. And it just so happens that Zacchaeus' name means pure. You know, when I was looking, I was like, wow, his name means pure. So here he is, a chief publican. He's the chief among all the tax collectors. In other words, he's the overseer of all the tax collectors who, by the way, weren't very liked. A lot of them did very shady dealings. If you owed tax, they would try to get more money from you. And so he was the chief among them, the overseer of all the tax collectors, very wealthy. But it says that he was of little stature. He was a little man, it said. And so he hears the story that Jesus is going to come through the town. And he wants to see who this Jesus is. He's curious. How many of us in the beginning, when we asked Jesus and before, we were a little curious about, all right, if you're really God, then show me. So Zacchaeus, he wasn't able to see him, though, because of him being so short. And the crowds were just all along the street. And he couldn't see him because of the crowds. And nobody was going to let him through because, after all, he wasn't, you know, what they even wanted around. They didn't like him anyways. So what does he do? He's walking and he sees a sycamore tree. That sycamore tree probably was there for years and years and years. He sees this tree and he climbs up the sycamore tree. And when he climbs up, he sees Jesus coming through. But what he doesn't know and what's unexpected is Jesus looks up to him and says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I must come to your house. It was the same with us when we were asked, just before we asked Jesus into our heart. He must come to our house. He wanted to come to our house. Doesn't matter how your past was, what you did. He wanted to come and visit you and be a part of your house. And so he says to him, come down. And Zacchaeus, he just rushed down. And it says he was joyful because of the Lord gonna, unexpected, totally unexpected, and probably even wondering, you know, I can't believe that. What did I do to deserve this? The crowd, on the other hand, they become indignant. How dare him? He's going to go to this sinner's house? He's a sinner. He's a lowlife. He's a renegade. He's no good. He's not worthy to have the Lord come to his house. He's a social outcast. How dare Jesus even bring him into this? He was being judged by all the other people there, the Jews, who looked at him as not even being worthy of having Jesus come to his home. How many of us sometimes people looked at us and thought, can anything good come out of this woman? I mean, you know, I kind of even asked myself, can anything good come out of this life? Why would you even come and do this for me, for you? Why would he do it for anybody? But Jesus knew his heart. See, in spite of what people may think of us, what you think of yourself, Jesus knows our heart. He knows. And he saw that Zacchaeus wanted to be right with God. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he quickly comes down and welcomes Jesus joyfully. Remember the day that you got saved? You got born again, the joy that came in. I'll tell you, I was just an idiot. My family was so sick of me, and I was like, I'm telling you, it was just such a miraculous thing, unspeakable joy. I had so many problems going on. Here I was, a divorced woman with two kids, trying to raise two kids on my own. And so it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I was just set free from all that guilt, all that the sin that I had lived under, all the failures I made, everything set free. It was done. I was a new creature. I was a new creature, and I felt new. What happens, though, is over the years, the pressures mount up. Anybody? The pressures of our day. The difficulty that we're facing now in our world, in our the United States, the difficulties, the pressures, the uncertainty of life. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my grandchildren? What's going to happen to us? What is going to happen? But and then the finances. Whoa. You know, how many we just struggle. How am I going to pay my bills? And what about tomorrow? And we know the word. We know the word says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the finances. You know, don't just seek ye first the kingdom. We know, I know all that. You know, but the pressures just weighs on the heart. The finances, the family, the problems with the family, the kids. You know, the things that happen. I so relate with Zacchaeus. Sometimes I just don't feel worthy. You know, I let it, the unworthiness beat me up. Sometimes I don't feel like I measure up. You know, just like Zacchaeus, little stature, intimidated, you know, inferior. Sometimes there's so many obstacles in the way of life and things, and we let it consume us. We let the obstacles of how we see ourselves, you know, a low self-esteem, how we think others see us or we perceive that they see us, how we look at our past and let our past dictate how Jesus set us free and how we should feel. Our failures, the discouragements of life, the lack of self-worth, the inferiority, and then the pressures of life. And, you know, it just adds up and adds up. And sometimes we let these things just consume us because we live up here and the enemy of our mind and our soul just torments. And then finally, I just have to say, stop. Stop it. And I have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. You have to just make your soul, your mind, the things that just torment you, to get back to that place. And I have to find a sycamore tree to climb up, to come up higher. But I want you to know that God has put sycamore trees in our life. Always. There's always been a sycamore tree, or a sycamore tree shows up out of the blue. Somebody comes knocking on the door. I mean, they don't say, hey, I'm a sycamore tree. I'm here for you. But all of a sudden, it's like, you know, because God knows our heart and he knows our willingness that we want to be right with him. We want to be right with God. And most importantly, Jesus, we need to see you just like, Lord, I need you. Oh, how I need you. And so we have sycamore trees. This is a sycamore tree right here. Your church, the church body, this women's group is a sycamore tree for you. That you're able to come and you're able to be edified, encouraged. Maybe you're not one day, you're not, or you'll come on Wednesday, and you're not feeling so encouraged. But there's always a sycamore tree that's been there for a while, that is there to encourage you. Always. Or you're the sycamore tree, and you see others, or you see something, or you see someone that is in need, that they just need to have an encouraging word, to speak a word over their life. There's times Jay and I have been flying and we'll see a lady and she's just like, don't ask me why, we just start talking, and before we know it, her sister has cancer and her father just died last year and her mother died the year, but this is a true story. And she said, I'm going to Texas because my sister is dying of cancer. And so we're talking to her and, you know, we get on the plane and I said to Jay, we need to pray for her before she goes to the next plane when we get off. So we get off the plane and she's waiting there for us and she says to me, are you guys pastors or something? I said, how did you know? Well, because she said, I could just feel it. We were sycamore trees for her. Right in the airport, didn't know. We prayed with her, prayed for her sister. We received an email about a couple weeks later that her sister went and had, they redid tests, cancer-free. We need to see Jesus. Others need to see Jesus in us. We're sycamore trees. And if you need sycamore tree, look next to you. Look next to you. Look around. There's sycamore trees. The other one is people around us. See, we are the body, and the body supplies each other of what we need. Another sycamore tree is the Holy Spirit. Come on. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a thing. He is a person, person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit comforts us when we need to be there. Sycamore tree, the Holy Spirit. He encourages us when we need it. He will be your teacher and a mentor when you need it. Everything you learn or you read or you study, he will bring back to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit, your sycamore tree. He will guide us. And then the best of all, he always points us to Jesus. Always. There's times I don't know what to pray. I just pray in the Spirit. And it says he edifies as you pray in the Spirit, encourages and edifies you, comforts you, and he'll speak to our hearts during those times and bring us to maybe Scripture or bring us to the Lord or just bring us that the Jesus comfort to our hearts again, the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the best one of all, Jesus, our sycamore tree, our high priest. It says that he knows our weakness. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he came to bring us salvation, because the Godhead knew we couldn't do it on our own. And when Jesus came to this earth, he came to show us a better way. And he came to show us, in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of our failures, in spite of all the things that we walk through, the difficulties and pressures, that we can do it. See, it says he's our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, he's not up there praying, oh, dear Father, please let them make it, please. No, he's up there going, come on, girl, you could do it. Come on, I know you could do it. I did it, I walked through it, and you could do it. Come on, girl. You just got to know. You got to know. He's our high priest. And we have a throne that we can go to in time of need. Boldly, it says, that throne is open to us day or night. So I just want to encourage us. Number one, I want to encourage you, be a sycamore tree. Look around you and be that tree. See, the Bible talks about us. We are trees. Trees of righteousness. But be a sycamore tree for those that are around you in time of need. Praying for them if they need prayer. Just a word, you know, to walk alongside and say, hey, how you doing today? You know, I had you on my heart. And I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning. Whatever. Be the sycamore tree. And if you need a sycamore tree, come to church. Be a part of the body. Let the members supply what you need. Go to the Holy Spirit. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let Him comfort you. Let Him guide you. Let Him teach you. And then finally, just sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at His feet. Because He knows already what's in our heart. There's nothing naked. Nothing. We're all naked to Him. There's nothing hid to Him. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. First of all, if you've never asked this one, Jesus, to come into your heart and life, I can't go on without just asking, because if there's just even one person here that has never asked Him into your heart, and you're not sure, but you want Him, you want to see Jesus, I just want to ask you to raise your hand right now. And you want to ask Him into your heart. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would never embarrass you. Anybody. Okay, so I'm going to assume you've asked Jesus in your heart. Second, how many have never asked the Holy Spirit to come in? And you would like the Spirit of God to come into your life. Anybody? No hands. Okay. We're all Spirit-filled. You are Spirit-filled anyways, but there's a indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The next one is, how many of you life has just been difficult? Just been weary and difficult and the pressures, and you're just so, everything just seems to be so hard. And you just like Zacchaeus, why are you not showing up, Lord? You're feeling unworthy. I want you to just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the Lord sees your hand. He knows your heart. He already knows. He knows what you're going through. I want to have, if anybody needs healing in their body, any physical, and I'm going to ask even the ones that you're going through the difficult time, I want to ask you to just stand. Just stand. Any healing, I don't care if you have an ingrown toenail, just see, our God is a healing God. He's a restoring God. I have this new thing. It's called my Rewords, R-E. And it's a prefix. And the Rewords are, He restores, He revives, He refreshes, He releases. He is a reconciler. He is a redeemer. He will redeem things that we've lost. All right, now, those of you that are sitting, the sycamores, I want you to get up and just go to somebody. And even if you're standing, just put your hands on one another, because this is the body He is the head, but we are the body. And so right now, we're going to be the sycamores in this place. The sycamores to ask God to come down and heal our bodies, because healing is for us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord. We ask that you just heal our minds. Heal our minds, Lord, from the past. Heal our minds from the failures. Heal our minds from the things that would taunt us, that would come and attack us, Lord, over and over and over again. Lord, I just ask that you would just heal the mind, Lord. Holy Spirit, just the oil, pour the oil on our minds, Lord. Renew our minds. Make our minds new again, every day new. Make our bodies new again. Renew us, Lord. Renew. Make us new. Lord, restore things that have been stolen from us, things that the enemy has stolen, things that the enemy continues to steal. Lord, in the name of Jesus, restore, Lord, restore the things that the enemy has taken. Restore, restore our heart. Lord, I pray for the heart right now. The issues of the blood, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the heart, the beating, the skipping, the back of the heart, where we've been hurt, we've been rejected. In the name of Jesus, Lord, restore, restore the trust, restore. Restore that in the name of Jesus, Lord. Restore. In through the back, Lord, where we feel there's been times we felt like we were stabbed in the back or we were betrayed, Lord. Lord, heal the back. Heal those things. Lord, heal even the areas in our life that we thought was healed, but they were just hard and just, they were still there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in through the neck area, in through the neck, to be able to move your neck again. If somebody has neck problems, just start moving your neck in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, just go through, go through, go through each person's body right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. The eye, somebody's eye, the left eye. Lord, I just pray for the eyes right now. The cataracts, the eyes. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, diabetes, right now, in the name of the Lord. Diabetes, you must bow. It says that everything is under his feet. When he died, he was resurrected. He put all things under his feet. Diabetes is under his feet. In the name of Jesus, cholesterol, high cholesterol, under his feet, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus. And through the nasal passage, sinuses, block sinuses or sinuses are being opened up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the sinuses along the eyes, in the name of Jesus, open up those sinuses. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. 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 Just a little while longer. I just feel like he's not finished yet. He's here. He's here. The Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here to set free the captives free. Lord, I'm praying for the minds that are being held captive. The enemy of the mind, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for grace on each and every person here. I pray for great grace. Grace, grace, Lord. We command that mountain to be removed in the name of Jesus. Lost marriages. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for the hurtful hearts, the rejected hearts, Lord. Jesus, come into our hearts. Set us free from the hurt. Lord, I pray right now that you put forgiveness on our hearts, to forgive those who have hurt us, forgive those who have done wrong to us, to forgive those and set them free, that we could be set free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Just take a deep breath in. Let the Holy Spirit just come and dwell in your whole body, in your lungs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, setting us free. We are free indeed. Free to forgive. Free to love. Free to be those sycamore trees. Free to forgive our enemies. Free to love God. Free to be me. Free, not afraid to be myself. Thank you, Lord. 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 You're freeing our hearts, freeing our minds, freeing us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.